So we're on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, and we're up to the Gemara of Iboilahu. Again, there are two Iboilahus here, so we got to get the right one. This one is like almost smack in the middle of the Amud, but it's a little tricky because there's an Iboilahu Kibru Al Mashabo. That's not the one we want to look at. We want to drop down 10 lines. So the first word in the line is Lama Huba, you know, the first phrase, if that helps. Okay, then we're ready to start? Okay. So we've been talking about in this sugya a karban ola, and the main issue was whether or not in a shalol lishma situation there is any element of kapara. Because on the one hand, the Mishnah says that the carbon is kosher, which would imply that there is some element of kapara. On the other hand, the Mishnah says that lo ol b'ayin l'shem chov, so they're going to have to replace the carbon. Are they replacing the carbon if they already achieved kapara? That was the question of the previous sugya. But at the end of the day, we're going to assume that whatever kapara they achieved through the first carbon, which was brought shalol l'shma, it's not sufficient. Rashi calls it a temporary protection from Yisurin. It's like a shield, so to speak. But it's not a genuine, complete kapara. And therefore, he has to achieve a complete kapara by bringing a second karma. Now the Gemara raises a different question. And this question has nothing to do with shalol lishma. This is a fundamental question of kapara. In a case where he violates an essay after he was mafresh the carbon ola, it means the following, that if he was mafresh a carbon ola and he brings that ola can generate a kapar for any essay that he violated, but that's for sure an essay that he violated before the hafrasha. What about an essay that he violated after hafrasha? And the Gemara wants to know, to what extent do we compare ola to chatos? If we take chatos as the paradigm case, then chatos can only be mechaper for an avera if he was mafrish the chatos after he violated the avera. So let's say, for example, he ate chalev at time t1, now he can mafrish a carbon as a chatos at time t2, that's wonderful. But if after he was mafrish the carbon in the case of chatos at time t2, at time t3 he violated another achilas chalev or achilas dam or whatever have you, then that chatos could not be mechaper. That's called an aver liachar afrosh. So it's got to be a chet kodem afrosh. That's in the case of chatos.
Is chatos only for one avera?
And it's only for one avera.
Doesn't make any difference. That's once.
Right. So the question is, can he? Let's say, for example, he decided to bring that chatos for the second avera that he violated. He's going to have to bring another chatos for the first avera, but at least can this chatos that he's bringing for the avera number two, can it be mechaper for avera number two? And the answer is it cannot, because he was mafresh the carbon before he violated that avera. And the Gemara wants to know, what's the deal in a case of a carbon ola, which is mechaper on an essay?
On a lot of essays.
That's why the Gemara thinks that maybe ola is different than chatos. So the Gemara asks, Iboilahu, a essay deliachra frosha mechapra, o lo mechapra. So he violated the essay after he was mafris the ola, now he brings the ola. Can the ola be mechaper for that essay that he violated between hafrosha and akrova? Mi amrinon, shall we say, mi di dehavia chatos? We should compare ola, and it should fit into the framework of a chatos. Ma chatos de kodem afrosha in li achar afrosha lo, that if he violates an avera after the afrosha, the chatos cannot be mechaper on that avera. We must have chet kodem afrosha. Is af hachal, let's apply the same rule, the same principle, nami, to the case of an essay for an ola, the kodem afrosha in we achar afrosha lo. That means that the carbon ola could only be mechaper for an essay. Let's say he didn't take a lulav or he didn't eat matzah. That took place before the afrosha, but liachar afrosha lo. And in that sense, we're making an analogy between Ol and what? And Chatos, O Dilma, O Damiel, Chatos. Shall we say that this halacha that we need Chet before Afrosha, that's only a principle that applies to Chatos, but doesn't apply to other Karbonos, in our case, to an Ol. Now, at this point, the Gemara is going to have to say, well, what's, you know, the burden of proof is on you if you're saying that Ol is different than Chatos, and you don't need Kodem, you don't need Chet Kodem Lafrosha, why should that be so? So Gemara says, Lo Dami Lachatos. Why is it not similar to Chatos? And this is where Mitch makes his point, that the power of Kapara of an Ola is sort of like an all-inclusive, generic power. It's not pinpoint, it's not specific to one violation. Whereas chatos, every single chait requires its own karma. The chatos, I'll call chait for chait, boila suye chado chatos. He needs a separate chatos for each chait. Now he wants to use this chatos, not for the chait that preempted the hafrosha, but for the chait that took place post hafrosha. That you can't do. So we see that chatos is a lot more restricted than Ola, but Hoch in the case of Ola de Iko Kame Esegebe Machapra. He doesn't have to specify one Ola per Avera. In this case, the Avera is an essay, but rather he can specify one Ola for many, many different violations, many different essays. So we see that there is a fundamental difference between essay, I'm sorry, between, we'll call it Ola and essay, and Chatos and Losas. So again, let's go over it one more time. In the case of chatos, every single chait requires its own karman chatos. Right? It's like you get one ticket and that allows you to go on the train, but only once. Ola is different. Ola gives you a pass. You know, it's like, what do they call it? Chachi, chavshi. You know, you can go on the bus for a full month and many times as you want. So here also the Ola gives you a ticket for a kapara that includes many different essays.
You don't even have to know which essays there are. Also, you have to know which chait for the chatos. But for the Ola, whatever I did, I don't even have to have it in mind, no?
That's also true, you're right. That the generic power of kapara in the case of an Ola is for any violation, even if I'm not aware of that violation. But the Gemara still doesn't know. It vacillates. What about a violation that took place after the Afrosha? So the Gemara is saying that we do have more flexibility in the case of an Ola. Maybe we can go as far as to say that since an Ola has this all-inclusive power of Kapara for all essays, maybe you could go as far as to say that at the moment of Havas HaKarban, of Hakrava, that's the key moment that generates Kapara, and that could generate Kapara even for an essay that he violated after the Afrosha. So we're stuck on the Afrosha in the case of Chatos. We're not necessarily stuck on Afrosha in the case of Ol. And at this point, the Gemara is going to embark upon an attempt to check out various brisos and see if, based on those brisos, we can come to some definite conclusion. So let's just learn another few lines of the Gemara. Toshma, and now we're going back to the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. The first section in Sefer Vayikra is dedicated to Ola, to Karban Ola. And in the context of Karban Ola, the Torah requires smicha. And that smicha is a requirement not only in the case of Chatos, but also in the case of Ola. So at this point, we're really talking about common ground, so to speak, you know, to both Chatos and Ola. So the Pasuk says, V'somach yodo, we'll read the whole Pasuk, the Gemara only quotes the word V'somach, V'somach yodo al rosh ha'ola, V'nirtza lo, and then it says, L'chaper olav. So there's an emphasis here on Ritzui. And the ultimate goal of Ritzui, if he brought the carbon in the proper way, is L'chaper olav, to achieve kapara. Now, the Gemara, the Brice actually, is a little bit perplexed about this pasuk. Why? V'chi smicha mechaperes? There's no mention here in this pasuk of zrikas adam. We know that the action that the kapara is inherent in one particular action, and that particular action is dam, is zrikas adam. Here the Pasuk omits any mention of Zrikas Hadam. It seems like all the emphasis on what? On Smicha v'samach v'nirtza. So the Gemara asks in a very kind of naive way, V'chi smicha v'chaperes follow ein kapara ela bedam. We have a principle that everything depends upon Zrikas Hadam. So why is that omitted from the Pasuk? Instead the Pasuk mentions smicha. The Gemara now quotes a Pasuk to prove that the mechaper is the zrikas adam. Shenemar ki adam hu banefesh yichaper. That the dam is mechaper. Smicha is a nice embellishment, but it's not the critical avoda that would generate kapara. Elamat hamadlomer. So what do we do with this pasuk? V'samach v'nirtza lo lechaper ola. Shim asos l'smicha shiorin mitzvah. That the status of smicha is a very complicated one. It's not just that, you know, ask yourself, well, is smicha critical in generating kapara? Is it not critical? The answer is, well, it is critical, but it's not critical. It's ki'ilu lo chiper, but it's v'chiper. It's going to create some sort of a complete kapara, meaning it's going to add. So we have a distance here. We have something called v'chiper, which is, shall we say, the basic kapara. And from this perspective, smicha is only an embellishment. We could call it shiori mitzvah. Shiori mitzvah means it's an additional benefit, but it's not critical. So the critical element of kapara, which means whether if you're absent that element of kapara, do you have to replace it? The answer is it's not critical. And the primary kapara is not dependent upon smicha, and therefore if you omitted smicha, you were yotzei with the primary kapara. But you should know, lo kiper, you did not get a complete kapara. It's not as if smicha is a heder mitzvah. You know, let's say I take an esrog on Sukkot, and I didn't take the most beautiful esrog. I went ahead and I took a kosher esrog, so I'm yotzei the mitzvah of esrog. You know, that's for sure. Now I want to embellish the mitzvah, but okay, I didn't take a beautiful esrog. You know, I didn't see the movie Ushpizin, if you saw that. You know, we pay a thousand shekel for an esrog. That's before inflation. Okay, so I fisfasti, you know, I gave up on the mitzvah of Zekei Leviyavdei. I took a basic esrog. So you might assume that smicha is also the same. It's like Zekei Leviyavdei. You know, it embellishes the mitzvah of Hakrovas HaKarma, but it's not part of the kapara. It's not essential to the kapara. As far as kapara is concerned, he was yotzer. So the Torah says, no, that's not true. V'somach yodal rosh hapar v'nirtza lo l'chaper olav. That there's a certain element of kapara which depends upon smicha. And without, in the absence of smicha, you forfeit that element of kapara. We'll call it the gmar kapara. And that gmar kapara is absent in the case where he omitted smicha. Okay, this is all a very nice analysis of the status of smicha and its power and its impact. But what's it got to do with our suffix? We want to know whether you can bring an ola and be mechaper even if the violation was subsequent to the afrasha. So Gemara analyzes it and says, my love, doesn't the Bryce have in mind the keeper? It means that this carbon ola is mechaper on ola, excuse me, on essay dekodim afrasha. Meaning the Torah wants to say the following, that there's an essay that you violated before the afrasha, there's an essay that you violated after afrasha. And now the question is, what happens if he omits smicha? So we said that if he omits smicha, he's missing a certain element of the mechaper. How do you quantify that element of mechaper that you're missing in the absence of smicha? So the Gemara wants to suggest that what the Bryce has in mind is there's a smicha, I'm sorry, there's a kapara she'ena gemura, and then there's a kapara gemura. Kapara she'ena gemura can be achieved even in the absence of smicha, but kapara gemura requires smicha. And what's the difference between the two? How do I quantify it? The answer is that if you have a kapara gemura, you know, bingo, you really won the jackpot. And that kapara gemura, when you did smicha and not just Zrikas Adam, but Smicha and Zrikas Adam, that's when it says V'samach V'nirtza L'chaper Olav. That's a complete kapara, which allows you to generate a kapara and achieve kapara even for what? An esse liachar hafrosha. But if you omitted smicha and you only get an incomplete kapara, that limitation on your kapara expresses itself in the fact that you can only achieve kapara on an esse dekodim kapara. That's the incomplete kapara. An esse liachar kapara, forget it. So let's read it inside. My love, the keeper, al essay, the kodim afrasha. If you omitted smicha, then you'll only get a partial limited kapara, which will be limited to an essay kodim kapara. Lo keeper, al essay, the smicha. One second. The lo keeper, al essay. Ah, okay. So this is interesting. The Gemara now gives us a practical example of an essay which he violated li'achar afrosha, and on that essay he's not going to achieve a kapara. And which essay are we talking about? Correct. The absence of smicha. The violation of the essay was the absence of smicha, because the Torah says v'samach. So in other words, since he has a mitzvah say of smicha, and that's at the moment of what? Of Akravas HaKarban. He violated that essay after Afrasha, by definition. There's no two ways about it. And the Ola is not going to generate a Kapara for that essay. But again, the Gemara is only giving a practical example, but the truth is, the Gemara has in mind a more generic, a more universal concept of essay liachar afrasha. The Gemara is just proving it in the case where he omitted smicha. So again, what the Gemara's diuk is that if he had implemented the smicha and done everything the right way, then it would have achieved a kapara gemura even for an essay liachar afrasha. In the case where he omitted smicha and now he's makriv the karban, he would love for the karmen to be mechaper for all esim, including the essay of omitting smicha, but it's not. And that's why the Torah says, v'samach v'nirtzo l'chaper ol.
Is it true that if a woman brings a korban ola, she can't do smicha?
I think the Gemara concludes that for noshim it's called a reshus, meaning...
I thought it was because the hem is in a place where she can't come.
Ah, so the Gemara, I think, has a case, if I remember correctly, where you can stand at the what's called the Shar Nikanor, which is technically outside the Azara, and you can still do smicha. Now, in the footnote here, he has a kasha from the Chazon Ish, and he says the following, in the name of the Chazon Ish. Why does the Braisa use the term Mala lov hakosuv ki ilu lo chiper? We're talking about a case where the ola is brought and he omitted smicha. And the Braisa says that if he omitted smicha, mala lov hakosuv ki ilu lo chiper. Why is it mala lov hakosuv? The Gemara is talking about the bittul essay of omitting smicha. As far as the bittul essay of omitting smicha, there's no way, no how, that this karban is going to be machaper for that essay, for that bittul essay. So what's the milo of akosav ki lo keeper? It's not a milo of akosav, it's be'emes he wasn't machaper. And he says the following. Even according to the braisa, that he omitted smicha, and therefore he doesn't achieve a complete kapara for the essay liachar afrosha of omitting smicha, he says gam lefi pirish ze kavana sabraisa lechapara sakorban atzma. In other words, will this karban be mechaper in a case where he left out smicha? Is milo of akosaki lo kipra lo a karban? Even if, let's say, he would have in mind at the time of the Avos HaKrovos HaKorban a particular sin, let's say he didn't take the lulav, then halacha would be that he doesn't achieve kapara if that sin took place li'achar afrasha. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. That from the fact that there's no kapara for smicha, meaning for the omission of smicha, because it took place after the afrasha, he will not have kapara for another chet of a bittul essay, which took place li'achar afrasha. And that's ma'al of akas of ki'ilu lo kiper, v'kiper, meaning he'll have kapara for all those averos, those bittul essays that took place before the afrasha. But as far as the essays that took place li'achar afrasha is lo kiper. So that's the ma'al of akas. So the ma'al of akas means that there's a complexity. On the one hand, there is a kapara, on the other hand, there's not a kapara. There's a kapara for those essays that were violated before the afrasha, but not for the essays that were violated li'achar afrasha. Okay, Rabosei. At this point, I'd like to put the Gemara on the side and take up the Nefesh Tov. Siman Ayin Gimel. So his first question is a very... let's see if I can say this, you'll help me formulate it, a childish question. I don't mean childish in a pejorative sense, but I mean a basic question. And he asks the following question. I don't understand why the Gemara has a hava mina here in equating ola with chatos. That analogy, at first glance, makes no sense. Why? The halacha of a carbon chatos is that the chatos requires afrasha for a chet. Meaning, let's say it in declarative terms, he has to declare it. I'm not sure if he has to verbalize this or not. That's a whole issue. But let's say, lomazogin, for the sake of argument, just that he has to declare it. So he's mafrish the carbon chatos and he declares that this carbon chatos is designated for the achila of chelev that I inadvertently violated and I ate chelev. And therefore, if he violates a chet after the afrasha, there's no way that chet could be included in his afrasha. But in regard to an ola, there is no such halacha. I don't say harezu ola l'shem chet zeh. There's no such din. The ola is mechaper on a chet, even if the afrasha was not designated specifically for that chet. You don't have to earmark the afrasha to make it into a valid afrasha. So, for example, in the case of chatos, if now, after the afrasha, he violates a chet, and now he declares he's bringing the karma for that chet that he violated lacha afrasha, so then there's no afrasha on this karma. Why? Because this karma is for the second chet, we'll call chet to the second, and it was never afrasha for that chet. There's no such parallel halacha in the case of ola. There's no din that the ola has to be designated for a chet. The ola is not designated for a chet. I bring an ola for whatever reason I bring an ola, and I can give a whole long list of reasons. But the ola is mechaper. So, how does the Gemara intend to extrapolate from chatos where there's halacha and afrasha, meaning that afrasha has to be afrasha for a specific chet, to the case of ola, where there is no requirement of hafrosha l'tzorach hachet? Is that crystal clear? So based on the Gemara's analogy, he comes up with a brand new structure, a revolution of sorts. The Gemara here is not focused on hafrosha. If the Gemara were focused on hafrosha, it would never have been a havamina to establish an analogy between chatos and ola. But rather, the Gemara is focused on a din in hakrov, not a din in afrasha, but in avas hakarbon on the mizbeach. And he says the following: that when we disqualify a chatos because it was liachar afrasha, that's not necessarily a psul in afrasha. It's halacha in hakrov itself. Meaning, there are two halachas here in chatos. There's one halach in chatos that the afrash itself has to be miyuad umezuman lechet Mesuya. But then there's another halacha, which means that the hakrava has to be hakrava for a certain sin. And which sin does the carbon have the power inherent in the carbon to be machaper on? Only the sin that took place before the hafrash. That second din is a din in the hakrava. And here's where the Gemara wants to make an analogy between chatos and ola. That just like in chatos, the halacha is that the chatos could only be mechaper for a specific chet. Now describe that chet to me. What are the conditions that that b'machshir, what word am I looking for, that qualify, what are the conditions necessary to qualify specific chet for the kapara of the carbon, so that when I bring the carbon has the power to be mechaper for that chet. What qualifies that chet? Exactly. It's got to be a chet lifnei kodem afrosh. The same din, the Gemara wants to say by analogy, in one side of the Gemara Sofei, applies to the case of an ola. The kapara power for the ola, meaning when I'm bringing the ola on the mizbeach, and I'm asking myself, well, what chet, again, chet here means bittul esek, what chet qualifies for the kapara of the carbon as I bring the carbon? As I look at the carbon, I ask myself, inherent in the kapara power of this carbon as it's being brought on the mizbeach, which chet qualifies? Which chet can be included and encompassed in the kapara power of the carbon? And the answer is, it's got to be, in this side of the Sofik, a chet kodem afrosh. Only a chet kodem afrosh qualifies for the hakrava to generate a kapara for that chet. But if the chet was implemented after the afrosha, that chet is not included in the scope, in the purview of the kapara power in the hakrava of this carbon. Oh, Dilma, the Gemara says, no. Maybe that krova, in the case of Ola, is not limited and not straitjacketed by chet shelifnei afrosh. And maybe it could include even a chet liachar afrosh. But again, let's just review. In chatos, there are two different halachas. One of which is irrelevant to the analogy to Ola, and the other is very relevant. The first halach in chatos is that this cannot be afrosha for anything other than the chet. And that means that if there was no chet at the time of the afrosh is not related to that chet. There's a second, that halacha is irrelevant to Ola. Why? Because we never found the halacha of afrosh l'tzorech chet in Ola. There's no such din. Just be mafrish the carbon, be magdish the carbon, and that's it. But in chatos is another halacha. That the problem with the chet liachar afrosh is a problem not in afrosha, but in hakrov. That the hakrovas hakarbon to be mechaper in chatos can only be limited to a chet kodem afrosh. A chet liachar afrosh is not included in the purview of the kapara power of the chatos. Here the Gemara thinks I might be able to derive a conclusion as far as Ola is concerned. That Ola likewise, if you ask me what kind of a chet would qualify for the kapara power of this carbon Ola, when I say chet again, I mean a bit less. Say only a chet kodem afrosh, but not a chet liachar afrosh. And here we have a right to say that we use chatos as our avtipus. That's going to be our paradigm for answering the question: what chet can be included in the kapara of any karma? Lav dafka chatos. Chatos is going to teach me for any karma that the kapara power of this carbon has to be on a chet that's kodem afrosh. And that mechanics, that principle could operate even in Ola, and that's the first side in the Gemara Sofer. However, the Rosh Yeshiva feels that he's not out in the clear. It's a brilliant chat, and it's a wonderful dissection of the sugya. But why in chatah should there be a second halacha? The first halacha seems to exhaust all cases. Meaning, there's no need to address the issue of havas hakarbon and ask, well, what is the power inherent in this chatos to be mechaper as far as the havas hakarbon, the akrovas hakarbon? That seems to be a totally irrelevant question because I need afrosha. Chatos requires afrosha. It means afrosha on a chet. The chet hasn't been implemented yet. In the case of chet liachar afrosh, It's a darish alo baliola. So why asks the Rosh Yeshiva, do I have to come on to the second aloch and chatos? Who knows if the second aloch and chatos really exists? It can only exist if you can only validate it if it has a, you know, as the lawyers say, if it cuts ice, you know, if there's some sort of nafkamina. But l'chor, there's no nafkamina at all. Once I have the first aloch and afrasha, so let me formulate what the Rosh Yeshiva I think is asking here. What scenario would be addressed by the second halacha that was not addressed by the first halacha? Could you imagine a case where the afrasha was for a certain chet, but davas hakarbon is being brought for a chet li'achar afrasha, and there's a second halacha that's generated here that there cannot be a kapara for a chet li'achar afrasha? What scenario do you have in mind? Meaning, by definition, if you're talking about the question of hakrava for a chet li'achar afrasha, it means that this afrasha was not related to that chet because the chet was a darish alo baliola. So why do I need the second halacha here? All I need is the first halacha that requires afrasha on a chet, and that chet has to be a real, you know, an existing chet, a reality at the time of the afrasha. Where could you imagine, or how can you come up in the universe of halacha with a scenario which would allow you to sideswipe the first halacha, and therefore you need to generate the second halacha? Meaning, can you come up with a hechatimtza, a reality, in the halachic universe, of a case where I have no problem with afrasha? The afrasha is considered afrasha li'achar achet, but I have a problem in Akrova such that I have to generate another halacha, that even though I've solved or sideswiped the first halacha and I'm okay, but I can't be machshir to validate the karbon for this chet because the chet was li'achar afrosh. If the chet was li'achar afrosh, then by definition afrosh was not afrosh for this chet, and chatos requires afrosh al chet. So let's look inside, because I want to show you where we're up to now. And basically everything that I've said until now, believe it or not, is one single paragraph. The first paragraph here in Siman Ayin Gimel. And he says the following. Hine, behold, he says, Mehadim edame shar karbonis lechatos, on the first side of the Gemara, that chet li'achar afrosh is completely excluded from this kapara based on the equation to chatos, nevuar, we have to derive the following conclusion. What underlies or what establishes the validity of this analogy from chatos to other karbanos is the hada chatos lo bala chet to liachar afrosha ain't ze rak mishum to lo mishkachas le shevriafrish karban chatos below chet. It's not simply because every single chatos requires afrosha for a chet, and that chet had to obviously have happened already. It's a dover shabal li'ola. Diyim kein, if that's your definition of the psul of chet li'achar afrosha, is my medami l'shar karbonos. You're telling me that it's a chet li'achar afrosha. The afrosha itself was not afrosha, was afrosha below chet, and that's why the karbon is pasul. My Midami, how can you derive by analogy any other karbanos? She'ein t'nai zekayim begdeshon. We never found in any other karban other than chatos that the chet has to have been designated at the time of the afrashas karban. So I can be mafresh a karban ola, and I have no clue as to whether or not I violated any essay. And well, the answer is ika odin. There's a second in bechatos. She'ein a kreva al chet liachar hafrosha. There's another din in the hakrava, in the bringing of the carbon, that the bringing of the carbon has to generate a kapara and relate to certain sins, and that bringing of the carbon could only generate a kapara on behalf of sins that were implemented before the hafrosha. The chen bir agrees. Oh, but v'yesh liayim. How do you generate the second halacha that akrovas hakorban has to be for a chet kodim afrosha? Heichem is kachas leklal chata shetova al chet to liachar afrosha. Hakem de frish al chet echod ein rashoy l'shanoso lechet acher k'maskodas asugya. If he was mafrish a korban specifically for one chet, how could he ever use that korban for a different chet? is Mimela, as far as that second chet is concerned, Liach Afrosha, there was never Afrosha. Umafrish below chet, Lechor lochal Afroshosa, the Lekashem Chatas below chet. So if he didn't sin, and then he's being Mafrish Achatos, that Afrosha is meaningless. So how could you ever need to generate a second halacha in Chatos that's in the Akrov itself, that Akrov is meaningless and cannot relate to a chet that took place after Afrosha? But if the chet took place after Afrosha, then the Karbon Chatos is completely null and void. I mean, actually, Mitch, I gave you another hechatim, so where he violated, two different achilas chelim. But let's say, for example, he only violated achilas chelim once. In that situation, how can you talk about the karba not being mechaper for that chelim because he was mafresh lechatos before the chelim, before the achilas chelim? If he was mafresh lechatos before achilas chelim, that's not a chatos. The whole afrosh is completely null and void. So where do we find the mitzvahs in the halachic universe of a karban chatos which exists even though there was no chet until after Afrosha? Because if you can find such a case, then I can introduce and generate the second halacha that there's no akrovas karban and there's no avas karban for a chet that took place after Afrosha. I can generate such halacha if you solve the problem of Afrosha. But how can you solve the problem of Afrosha? We're talking about a chet that was violated after that Afrosha. So in order to answer this question, we have to learn a sugya in Tumura. Is there such a thing as being mafrish a karbon as both a chatos and an ol? That's the sugya in Tumura. And the sugya presents on this point the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that if you are magdish it as an ola and a chatos, then it's only an ola. Or if you are magdish it as a chatos and an ola, it's only a chatos. This is called what? Who remembers the language of Rabbi Meir?
First name.
Yeah, how do you say it in Lashon Kodesh? Just curious. Tfos Lashon Rishon. Okay, so Lashon Rishon, what he said first, what came out of his mouth first, that's what is primary, that decides the repercussions down the line. Forget about his second lashon. That's according to Rabbi Meir. Then we have the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, "Af al gmar dvar of adam nitfas." We have to look at his whole statement. He couldn't say in one breath, "Hareza ola, hareza chatos." For that, you have to be the Almighty Himself, right? Shomer v'zocher v'dibarecha. So he really meant to say both, that it should be both a chatos and ola. He couldn't get the two words out of his mouth at the same time. But we make believe as if he said both. Oh. So now what do we do in this case? According to Rabbi Meir, it's not a relevant discussion because Rabbi Meir holds tfos lashon rishon, and this karbon is clearly a karbon ola, or a karbon chatos, depends which came first. But according to Rabbi Yossi, that we're going to take it as if he said both things. According to Rabbi Meir, there's really no stira, there's no akhasha between chatos and ola. Whatever he said first, that's what's chal. What he said second is nothing. But according to Rabbi Yossi, tfos lashon achron as well. Af lashon achron. So what is the status of this karbon? It's half ola and half chatos. I call it schizophrenic. So what I'm about to tell you is absolutely wrong, but I'm going to tell you anyway because this is the intuitive answer to this question. According to Rabbi Yossi, is it a chatos or an ola? The answer is it's both a chatos and an ola. It's half and half. So what do you do in this case? So what you do is you wait until it gets a mum. That's called yirat shi'istayev. Let it go into the grazing area. Once it gets a mum, you're allowed to be poded. And with the money that replaces this half ola, half chatos, you're going to buy two karbanos. You'll buy a karban ola and you'll buy a karban chatos and bring them both. But that's not what Rabbi Yossi says. Rabbi Yossi says tovus. Tovus means the karban is irretrievable. It's possible the gamrei, and you cannot regenerate and resuscitate. Okay.
Why?
Oh, so why?
Why?
Right. So we want to see Rashi in Tmura. He says, here it is. Upirish Rashi, Taima de Rabbi Yossi. You have the paragraph, it's Ulam. Just I want to know that you were. Okay. The Af Bigmar Dvar of Adam Nitfas. So you can't cut him out, you know, midway when he said Chat. So it's got to be Olen Chatos. The Ihu Loavi Mechuyov Chatos. Now Rashi adds a whole nother element into a monkey wrench into the equation. That he didn't violate any Achilles Chelev. The man is Naki Mikol Chelev. Hilchot Tomos. Meaning Rashi is compelled to add another element here. We thought the Gemara was talking about a case where he's chayev chatos and he just has to run around and find the animal of his choice to designate it for his chatos, and he also at the same time had a chiyuv ola, or maybe he wants to bring a carbon nedavas ola, and he looked around, so he said, you know what, let me kill two birds with one stone, let me take this animal and designate it as both a chatos and an ola, let it be a half ola and a half chatos, and I'll be able to design both. Comes along Rabbi Yossi, and he says, "Af bigmar dvar of adam nitfas." Therefore, the carbon is not only a chatas; it's an ola. And what do you do with such a mixture? Rashi's not happy with it. What do you mean? What do you do with such a mixture? If it's both a chatas and an ola, sell it and use its money half for this and half for that. Says Rashi, the problem is that he didn't violate any avera, and therefore, at least as far as the chatas part is concerned, that carbon is completely possible. There's no way you could say that it's kadosh v'kedushas chatas. And what you're going to have to do now is let the animal die. Now you may ask, but wait a minute, half of it should be an ola. No, you can't have a carbon that's half possible and half kosher. So once it's a half of the carbon that's possible, the whole carbon is possible, and therefore tumbles. Thomas means it's insalvageable. Is there such a word? He says, "V'itochet shapirish kem yishum desfil de iavi mechuyev chatos ayedina de tiroa ad shetistav v'yiplu domeo chetzion liola v'chetzion lechatos." Rashi was born. If he indeed had violated a chiyuv chatos and a yed chelev, then what he has here is both an ola and a chatos according to Rabbi Yossi. And if in such a case, let's sell it. You know, as soon as he gets a mum. And with that money, we can designate half the funds for an ola and half the funds for a chatos. So Rashi answers, no, that's not an option. Why? Because he never violated a chet. He never violated a chet. There was no afrosh of a chatos for a chet. It's therefore the carbon is possible. Ubitosis hikshuola. Hechi chayla kedushas chatos ale klal. Ha'amr minidarm. Dafilu amr al behema zu. Harezu chatos im edom achuyiv chatos lo omar klu. So Tosis gives the following question, that he raises the following objection to Rashi. Chatos hamesa means that it is a chatos, the hafrosha was chal, but it's possible. And if you have a carbon that's possible, tomos. Frektosis, I don't understand. According to Rashi, if he didn't violate any chet whatsoever, then there's no afrosha. What's unique about chatos in the constellation of all zvachim is that afrosha is only meaningful if he violated a chet. If he's not even called chet, then the afrosha is meaningless. You can't say arezu chatos and therefore it would be chal as a korban chatos. It's not chal at all. If it's not chal at all, then the idea, the concept of tomos is totally inappropriate, irrelevant. Tomos means if I have a chatas psula. Here it's not a chatas at all. Perhaps we could add another element into the equation that would strengthen Tosus' kasha on Rashi. If it's not a chatas at all, then what is it? It should be an ola. Now if a person says that the leg of this animal should be an ola, then we have a principle. This pashta kedusha bakula. That's a sugya in Masechta Kedusha. So Tosfos might be implying a second objection to Rashi. Number one, how could Rashi say Tomuz as a chatos psul? It's not a chatos at all. You can't be mafresh a chatos without chayim. And furthermore, if his afrosha b'toras chatos is completely null and void, it doesn't even get off the ground, then it should be a carbon ola. I was only mafresh, let's say, half of the carbon is an ola. We have a principle of nispashta kedusha b'ku.
Isn't that a list of like five chatoses that you die?
Right.
This is not one in the list.
No.
So that's another, how could Rashi say it is?
Correct. But one of the cases on that list is a case where the chatos cannot be mechaper for any sin. That's called Bailov Mesu.
Yeah, he died.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So in that case, very similar to our case. I mean, here nobody died, Baruch Hashem, everyone's well. But there was no chet. And what the Gemara means by Mesu Baleha means that there's no chet. There is a chet, but that has no bearing on this chatos. Once he dies, the chatos is not related to any chet. Now the Rosh Hashiva is not going to answer Tosis's objection. You know, that he's waiting for Mashiach to come along. I don't know who's going to salvage or redeem Rashi from this blotter. But what he's going to do is, let's build on Rashi. Rashi clearly states, notwithstanding all of Tosis' slings and arrows, that he was mafresh l'chatos. And as a result of this afrosha, the karbon is a chatos. Again, it's a schizophrenic karbon. It's both an ola and a chatos at the same time. And Rashi says tomus. So Rashi's clearly saying that the afrosha was chal, and yet the animal has to die. What does that mean? He didn't violate a chet. Tafrosh is chal. We don't know how, but Rashi says tafrosh is chal. That's in Rashi. You know, you can't blame the Rashi for that. Let's again read the language of Rashi. Rashi says, "Iu lo avi b'chuyev chatos," and then Rashi says it's a chatos psula and it's tomos. So Rashi's saying three things. Number one, Rashi's saying he didn't violate a chatos. Number two, Rashi is saying that he was mafresh a chatos, and it is a chatos. How do I know that that's what Rashi's saying? Because Rashi says, number three, tomus. You would never say tomus if that afrosha was not chal. Says the Rosh Hashiva, you know what Rashi's talking about? Who could guess? If you just know the name of our sugya for today. Chet lachar afrosha. What Rashi's talking about is the following scenario. That he was mafresh a korban chatos before the chet, and then he violated the chet. So now Rashi is saying that afrosha was chal. Again, Tosfos doesn't know why. We have no clue why that afrosha is chal if there was no chet. But Rashi picks it up from there and he says that afrosha is chal. I have a chatos in front of me. Nu, if I have a chatos in front of me, and I have a chet now, because you know he didn't supply the chet before that afrosha, but now he came through in the clutch and he ate chelev, right? So now let's be makir of this karma. So Rashi says he can't be makir of the karma. Why? Except, so we see a second halacha. This for the Rosh Hashiva. This is Yom Simcha. You know, this is Kimat and Torah. Simcha Kimat and Torah. Why? Because I'm looking for a hechatimsa where I justify generating a second halacha in chatos, not halacha in afrosha, but in hakrova. That hakrova cannot be chal to be mechaper on a chet liachar afrosha. Here's the case. Where according to Rashi he violated the chet liachar afrosha, the karmen is tomus, it's pasul. Why can't this chatos be mechaper for that chet? Between the afrosha and the akrova, he ate chelev, shkarech, you know, we thank him for that. You know, he played his part very well. Let the karba now be mechaper for the achilas chelev liachar afrosha. Ah, now we need a second din. What second din? In Hakrova, the carbon has no kapara power vis-a-vis a chet liachar afrosh. It can only be mechaper on a chet before afrosh. And in this case, there was no chet before afrosh. So again, we haven't answered Tosis' objections to Rashi, but we see clearly that Rashi is operating within the framework of a second halacha in chatos, and that's halacha in the havas hakarbon, that the carbon itself cannot be brought on the mizbeach with akrova that would be mechaper for chet liachar afrosh. Let's see him inside. Al kolpanim, he says, mevuar mi divrei Rashi, the das Rashi, the kedushas chatas chayli af below chet, which Tosus says can't be. How can be mafresh a karbon chatas without a chet? But Rashi holds at least the karbon without chet is not going to be mechaper, but at least there's a chalos kedushas karbon vis-a-vis the afrosh. And it's a tremendous nafkamina because according to Tosu, there was no chet, afrosh is garnished. This is a famous chut.
You're not allowed to make if you have no.
Well, again, we're talking about a chet of chiv karis now. Mm-hmm. You follow what I'm talking about? Okay. There's 36 chiyuvei krisus at the beginning of a set of krisus, any of which will generate a chiyuv karmel chatas. You know, if you smoke on Shabbos, chas v'shalom, you got to bring a karmel chatas. But if you were mafresh a karbon when there was no chet, then so Tosis is going to say that the afrosha doesn't even get off the ground. It doesn't register on the Richter scale, and therefore the carbon is basically a carbon chulin. The beim is a beim chulin. Let it live biz 120. But according to Rashi, the afrosha is chal. But we have a problem. That's our problem in the akrov. Why? Because even if it's a chatos and that's the identity of the carbon, I can't be makru this carbon because to be makru a carbon chatos, I need a chet. And what kind of chet is included in the power of the carbon to be mechaper and a chet? Only a chet liachar. I'm sorry. Only a chet lifnei afroshi. Only now he has a chet liachar afroshi. Ulefiz zeh itachin da the tamus. Why does the animal go to death? Mishum she'eni yachol likarev below chet. Emphasize that word likarev. This is the great find of the Rosh Hashiva. If there was no problem, no objection in the koach, the power of akrava to be machaper, this would not be a karban that goes to misa because it's a possible karban. Nimsa dilapirish Rashi the dina, this din which we it looks to us like one din of afrosha, the ein chatas kravel liachar afrosha. No, this is the second din. Mishkachasle, the kahai gavna de hifrish below chet, and afrosh is chal. Now bol is kaper ba al chet liachar afrosha. Again, this is totally the creativity of the Rosh Hashiva because Rashi doesn't mention a word about the fact that he ate chalav after the afrosha. But the Rosh Hashiva is asking himself, so what is the meaning? What is the significance of this karbon? You know, the Rashi says it's got a status as a karbon. And why is it possible? And the answer is because he violated the achilus chelav after the afrosha. Bol is kaper al chet shel yachar afrosha. Fi ein chatas ba ela al chet delifnei afrosha v'lo al chet liachar afrosha. It's lahachi tomus. Okay, that's what I call Roman numeral number one. But just to appreciate the Rosh Hashiva's creativity, there's a lot more here. And now he quotes a sugya in Masechta Nedarim. Again, the same goal in mind, that you could have such a thing as afrosha in chatos, and the chet was violated after the afrosha, but there's a din in chatos that the hakrovas hakarbon cannot be related to a chet liachar afrosha. And this is Rashi in Masechta Nedarim. Now, just 3 days ago, we said kinnis. And one of the kinnis is about the fact that during the Crusader period, we lost Rashi on Masechta Nedarim. Rashi that he's quoting here is really not Rashi. We call it the Hamafarish. Have you ever seen that in Masechta Nedarim? What we have on Masechta Nedarim is the Ran. And I hope the Ran will be mocha me for saying it's not Rashi. He's great, the Ran, and we love the Ran. But taint Rashi. So that's why we say Kinna for the Crusades. Because they destroyed so many manuscripts. And I honestly think that, Mitch, we gotta get a citizen's petition and change the name of that city in, where is it, Missouri or yeah. Aren't there two of them or something? Well, that might come, that's Kansas City, in Missouri. And, you know, there's a whole issue now because they're finding out historians are finding about certain people that are glorified in American history, that they made their money by selling slaves, you know, black slaves. And there's all sorts of petitions going on in America. I don't know where this is going to eventually end up. You know, Ulysses S. Grant, you know, may have been a good guy for the Confederates, but he was a slave trader. But this goes on and on and on. So I think the Jews should get together about the name of that city, St. Louis, because he became a saint because of his anti-Semitism. And today, you should know, on the Spanish calendar, there's still a date on which during the Inquisition period, they used to kill Jews. And it's a date that's noted on the Spanish calendar to this day. So it's just, you know, we fool ourselves into thinking that all anti-Semitism comes from the Muslims or the Arabs. You know, it's not true. Okay, anyway. So what happens to Rashi in Masechet Nedarim? Rashi says the following. That we have two ways, fundamentally different ways, of creating a korban. One is called a neder, and one is called a nedav. There's something called hare zu, and something called hare alai. And Rashi says the following. That if a person says hare zu chatos, just one second, let me get this straight, I'm sorry. I just don't want to make a mathematical error here, just one second. Rashi says, if he says harezu chatos, then afal gav de lo mechuyav, okay, even though he's not mechuyav in a chatos, means he didn't violate a chet, then dvarv kayovet. If on the other hand, he says hare alai, not harezu, hare alai is called a neder, right? Then, if he says harei alai, it means I'm obligated in a chatos, and in fact he was not obligated in the chatos. Ain't no clue. So again, I'm just going to write this down for myself so that as we go on with the mathematics, I don't mess this up. According to Rashi in the Nedarim, if he says harei alai, then lo clue. If he says harei zu, then it's a chatos, even though he did not violate an isur.
Is that what he says? He says harizu alaycha.
Did I mess up?
He says harizu alaycha. I said both.
Right, right. It's more complicated than what is harizu alaycha. Maybe as we go along, we'll be able to answer your question. But right now, I almost deliberately left out the word alay here, so just because I want to get the bare. You know, just get the bare facts. Adkan Lashonu. So Rashi sets up the following distinction. We have a principle that there's no chatos without chet. That only applies in the case of a nedava. Nedava means hare alai.
Not nedava.
I'm sorry. I keep getting mixed up. I'm sorry. I apologize. Let me get it again. Hare shechilik Rashi, dehodein chatos belo chet, hainu binedava beloshen hare zu. Avol bineda diomar hare alai dvarv kayom. So he's saying the exactly opposite of what I said. Okay, I'm sorry. When I prepared this, I thought I had it, but now I see maybe I fooled myself. Just one second. Bira chilik nedigsha omar hare zu. So again, I'm sorry, I'm going to rewrite my notes here just to see if I can do a better job here. Harezu, if he says...
A shavua and a nether, not a nedava.
Joel, can you give me just 2 minutes? Yeah. I really apologize, because, you know, I always work with the theory of Plato. Plato says he can't teach a child arithmetic. He's got to figure it out on his own. So when it comes to arithmetic, you got to give me 5 minutes, because otherwise it goes in one ear and it goes out the other. So Mamish, I think in 60 seconds I'll have it. So, if he says harezu, then lo klum, just 1 second, and that's a case of what? Of a nedava. Harezu. Avol ben neder, just 1 second, I'm almost there. If he says hare alai, dvarav kayamim, even though he didn't violate a chet, Tima Omer Harezu. Harezu, it means Kiddushas Chatos, and there was no what? There was no Aver. Because Ein Chatos Bol Chavol Neder. Avol Neder, so he says, Areel Lai, Huchiv Hagala Gavra. Uchal Af Polo Chet. I'm almost there. Takes a ray alive. If he says a ray alive, and then we'll go back and see if we can read this into Rashi. But I just want to get what if he says a ray alive, and he hasn't yet designated a carbon, a specific animal, right? So then he doesn't need a chet. Just one second. That's not good enough for us, is it? Because we need the afroshi here. Just one second. And in the case of neder, it could be chal without chet. Is there flach the yitzrich adina di eno ba al chet to the afrafrash? No. No, this doesn't make sense. Go ahead, Dr. Joel, the floor is yours. At least I know what he's trying to say. I don't think I
there's
accept.
No nedava with a chet. You're making
say it one more time.
There's no nedava in chet.
There's no nedava.
You can't make a free will offering of a chet. It has to be a chov. You're just trying to do it. You're discussing.
Are you talking about a rezu?
Yeah, you're talking about shavua is that, or is on me, and a nether is on it. And you're using the word nedava, which doesn't, I don't think, would apply. You should be talking about a shavua and a nether.
Well, no. Wait a second. There's something called nidre hegdesh. Nidre hegdesh are very similar to a shavua. In other words, when you talk about a nether, let's say, forget about hegdesh. If I want to ask for this table on myself, that means I'm saying that this table is awesome.
Yeah, that's a nether.
If I would say I won't sit on the table, that's a shavua. That's only as far as Nidre Iser is concerned. But then there's another parash called Nidre Hegdish. So Nidre Hegdish operates with a whole different set of rules and regulations. Basically, Nidre Hegdish divide up into two parts. One is called a Neder, one is called a Nedava. Okay, in the case of Nedava, that you have no problem with. That's similar or fits the pattern of the classical case of Nidre Isur, where I look at the carbon and I say, Harezu. But in Nidre Hegdish, there's another concept which is called a neder. Again, to you, it's going to sound like a shvur, but it's called a neder because in Hegdish, you can take a neder of Harei Olai. Even though, again, it's in Hilchus Isurim, forgetting about Hegdish, it would be a shvur, it would not be a neder. But in Hilchus Nidre Hegdish, there's a concept called a nedav. And that nedav, I'm sorry, concept called a neder. Okay, I'm sorry, sometimes I mess that up. And a neder is what you would call, wait a minute, just one second. Yeah, what you would call the shvu. What do I mean? What you would call shvu, or what I would call shvu, meaning he's not specifying an object right now. He's talking to himself, and he's imposing an obligation upon himself. And that's, in Nidre Hegdish, that's called a neder. So Rashid is claiming that what Rashi means in Masechta Nedarim is that in the case of a neder, even if he hasn't violated a chet and he says the words Harei Alai Chatos, it's chal. Now, here's where I don't understand what Rashi is saying, and hopefully you'll figure this out for me. What do you mean it's chal? On what animal? He hasn't yet been mafresh the animal. So again, he may have a personal moral obligation, al pi din, to be mafresh an animal when he took this neder. And that I can accept even if he hasn't violated a chet, but there's no afrashi yet. And at this point, you know, you can hold him in violation of a neder, but you can't hold him, you know, you can't ask the question, well, you know, did the chet take place before the afrashi or after afrashi? He hasn't yet gotten to the point of afrashi. Now, the Rashiva clearly admits that in the case of Harei Zu, which is called a nedava, then there has to have been a chet, even according to Rashi in the Nedarim, before the Akdasha. And if there was no chet, then the Harei Zu is totally meaningless. Now let's see, I want to see again the Rashi in the Nedarim. Avolo ayim achui of chatos eno klum, hoil vi lo amar Harei Olai. implying that had he said a real lie, even though he wasn't mechuyev a chatas, it would still be meaningful. But I would say that's meaningful only as a chovas gavra, but not. But this is before afrasha. Shem amar rezu. Again, here you have Rabbi Kapustin is yelling and screaming about the word a lie. Okay, fine. But arezu chatos, that's a classical case of an endava, is afagav shim omar. Just 1 second. Oh, so maybe he's focusing on the word a lie. Oh yeah, he's focused. He's totally focused on the word a lie. Okay, so we have to rewrite the script here. I was trying to de-emphasize the word a lie. The Rosh Yeshiva is putting all the emphasis on the word a lie, and he's basically saying that if a person says Harei Zu without the word a lie, that's called a neder. That's called a neder. No, I'm sorry. If he says, I'm going to get this straight, Rabbos. I feel bad for you that you have to go through the suffering with me. Yeah. Okay, but if you can tolerate me. So if he says Harei Zu without the word a lie, okay, that's called a nedava. And in such a case, if he hasn't violated any chatos, it's meaningless. Why? Because he left out the word a lie. If he says harezu a lie, oh, this is critical. Oh, now I'm beginning to see where my mistake was. Oh, this is gishmak. Oh, now it's coming to me. Takes a while, Rav Osai, but it eventually sinks in. If he says harezu a lie, which is called a neder because he added the word a lie, then Rashi holds dvar of kayom. It's chal. Why, says Rashi, this is the language of Rashi, hoil the omar a lie. I would change it a little. Hoil the hosif a lie. Because again, what's critical here is the two words that are critical. Zu and a lie. And then he says chatos, obviously. So he says hare zu a lie. By adding the word a lie, he introduces a new element into the equation, and that's the chovas gavra. But he also said the word zu. So he's designated Elsie the cow. There's a specific cow in front of him. And not only that, he said a lie, which means it's a chiyuv on me. Once he says a chiyuv on me, then that adds a new element to the equation, and the carbon is chal, the afrash is chal, despite the fact that he didn't violate any chiyuv chatos. But if he says harei zu without the word alai, so there's no chovas gavra that could expand the nature of this carbon. It's a pure carbon nedava, and if it's a pure carbon nedava, that this should be a chatos. What do you mean this should be a chatos? Why should this be a chatos if there was no chet? Is ein afrash is chatos below chet? Oh, now let's talk about the second case in Rashi, Arezu Alai, where Rashi says, Dvar of Kayomet. Okay, Arezu Alai, but he didn't violate a chet. So what does this mean, Dvar of Kayomet? And he said, Zu. So he's talking about a specific, but he added the word Alai. Says the Rosh Hashiva, it must be that Rashi is referring to a case where he violated a chata, a chiv chatas, when? After that frosh. So he said, Arezu Alai, pointing to a specific carbon. Specific behemoth, and now he violates a chatos. So the afrosh is chal. So what Rashi means is that the afrosh is chal. Harei shechilik Rashi, the hadi ain chatos ba below chet hainu b'nedava ubalashin harei zu, where he omitted the word alai avol b'neder. And what did he say? He said not only Arei Zu, but he said Arei Zu Alai, Dvarv Kayamin, Birachi, look near it, Diksha Ome Arei Zu, Isarch Lachal Al Karbon, Kedushas Chatos, he's trying to effectuate a Kedushas Chatos, Vizei Efshe Belochet, Aval Bineder, what did he add over here to the word Zu? To Chiv Gavra, is then he could be Mafresh this Karbon, Af Belochet, why? Because he accepted a Chiv Gavra. Let's see what he. I'll call upon him. I'm going to skip it. Mevur b'divrei Rashi, the yesh chiluk bein neder ule nedava. So in a nedava case of arei zu, there's no possibility without chet. But in a neder, we said arei alai, there is a possibility. Is yesh lomer kanal, like we said earlier, the lahachi itzrich leha di eno ba al chet liachar afrosha, that there was a violation of a chet liachar afrosha. And now there's another din that the carbon is going to be possible. So what bothers my mind about this whole shtickl Torah is that even if I grant you that every word is holy of holies and it's all correct, and that's what Rashi had in mind in the Darin, but what does Rashi mean that the carbon is kosher? Because he's telling me now that he violated the chet liachar afrosha, and there's another din in chatos that chatos cannot be mechaper for a chet liachar afrosha. So why is Rashi so insistent on making this distinction between a nedava where he left out the word alai and a neder where he added the word alai? At the end of the day, in both cases, the carbon is possible. Ah, I get it. Oh, now I got it. It means the following. If he, in the classical nedava case, he said arei zu and he did not violate a chet, tafrosh is not chal. So what's the status of the animal now? It's chul. Masha Enkin, if he said harei zu alai, then afrosh is chal. He can't be makriv the karbon because he can't be makriv a karbon for a chet liachar afrosha. Is there for talmus? That's not the nefesh tov. That's berzon. But that's the only sense I can make out of this paragraph. How are we doing on the clock? We have another 10 minutes, so let's see if we can chapter one last case of the Rosh Hashiva. Uladas Tosfos. All this is good in Rashi because the first shtickl Torah that we had was Rashi and Tmura. Tosfos rejected that Rashi. The second shtickl Torah was Rashi and Adoran. And there's a footnote in the Marav Mirenschenberg from Germany that he says that Tosfos never accepted Rashi in Masechet Nedarim. So Ein Chatas Ba below Chet is Hadra Kushtel Adukta Heichem Ishkat. So where's the Heichem Timtz according to Tosfos of a case where the Afrosh is Chal, but there's a second din in the carbon that the carbon cannot be Mechaper for a Chet Liachar Afrosh? Now, if let's say a person finds out that he ate two different kezesim of chelev, how many chatos does he have to bring? One. Right? He only has to bring one. Why? Because he did a be'elem echad. Unless there were yedios machalkos. So let's say, for example, he found out on Sunday that he ate the first chelev, and he found out on Monday that he ate the second chelev. Even though they were both eaten at the same time, so I have to add another element to the equation. So he finds out on Monday about the first chelev, and then he was mafresh a carbon. He finds out on Tuesday about the second chelev, and he has to be mafresh the second carbon. Why? Because the yedios machalkos when there were two separate afroshos. Akak nodal kizayis hasheni is kamen the yedios machalkos sork lavi shtei chatos ulam. I have your chatos mechaperes al chet liachar afrosha, ha yochel is kaper bechatos achas al shteyem. Ah, beautiful. He's saying the following. Everything, as we described it, is the scenario. Now, on Wednesday, he brings the carbon. Which carbon is he bringing? He's bringing Monday's carbon, meaning he's bringing the carbon that he was mafrish for the chet rishon, we'll call it. The first achilus chet. Says the Rosh Hashiva, why can't that carbon be machaper even on the chelev of number two, the second achilus chet? If you're going to tell me, well, it's a chet liachar afrosha. It's not a chet liachar afrosha because at the moment of afrosha, he had already violated the second chelev. So what's this whole din called yedios machalkos? Forget about yedios machalkos. I couldn't care less of yedios machalkos. He could bring the karbon for the first chelev. Ah, you'll tell me that in time of afrosha he didn't violate the chelev. The answer is he did violate the chelev. He violated the chelev for the second kezias before he was mafresh the karbon. Narvas, he didn't know about the violation of the second chelev at the time he was mafresh the first karbon. But so what? He now has the option of being makriv the karbon on behalf of both kezesim, because it's not a case of chet liachar afrosha. The chet took place before that afrosha. So what's this whole deal? Why does the sugya establish that he needs a second karban chatas? He doesn't tell you here exactly where the sugya is. Okay. The answer is because there's a sveita din. In addition to the din in hafrasha, there's also din in akrava. That akrava could only be machaper for one sin. And you and I might have said, well, it's beheli machas, so it's like one sin. But the answer is we have halacha yedidus machalkos, and that halacha is going to project itself into the fact that the hakrava is only being chal, can only be chal for the first achilas kizayis. The Odia Shalom Lefima Shekosav Rambam, the Afti Efshal Shanos Chatos Michet Lechei Mikom Komein Posel Elim Shina Michatos Chelev Lechatos Dam Avol Michatos Chelev Lechatos Chelev Efshal Shanos. So the Rambam Shita, we had a great long discussion. I don't know if you were here when we discussed this Rambam Hilchos Shkagos, Per Gimel Alocha Gimel. The Rambam says if you violated the same Issa twice, then b'di'evit, if you brought the Karban Chatos for the second violation, that's called a Shinui. What's a Shinui? Shinui means that you can redirect the Karban. You were mafresh the Karban for the first Chelev. Correct? Again, you had eaten two kizesim of chalev, and then you went and you were mafresh the korban for the first chalev. You can decide, if you so choose, to be mishana and bring the second korban, I'm sorry, and bring the korban for the second achilas chalev. Correct. Oh, so what happens if he does this shinui? He says, hufresha al chet. So mishkachas le b'mishane chatos chilev lechat lechilev. Do we acher afrosha? Oh, just one second. So now he was mafrish. He violated one chilev. Then he was mafrish the carbon. Then he violated a second chilev. And now what he wants to do is he wants to effectuate a shinui. So why would the carbon be possible in this case? The Rambam is only machshir because he violated both chelevs before the afrasha, and he decided to make a shinui. And then the Rambam says the carbon is kosher. But if he had violated the two chelevs, one before the afrasha, one after the afrasha, then the carbon is possible. So the Rashi wants to know. But wait a minute, the Rambam says you could be mishana the afrosha from one to the other, from one, if it's the same chet, from one achilus chet to the other achilus chet. So as far as the afrosha is concerned, he already implemented and achieved the shinui. So why is the carbon possible? And the answer is because that was a chet liachar afrosha. Psul mitam davri chet liachar afrosha. So again, there's no problem in the afrosha itself because the Torah equips the Balachet, or in this case Balachatoy, with the authority, the power to be Mishana the Afrosha from one chet to the other, as long as it's the same chet. So therefore we've circumvented the problem of Afrosha, of chet liachar Afrosha, because now, in other words, when a person is Mafresh a carbon for chelev, it's almost as if he has in mind any future achilas chelev. So that Afrosha could expand itself. It's an expanding Afrosha. We had once a case in a carbon board where he was mafresh a carbon for sukkahs. Then the carbon got lost, and then he was mafresh a second carbon. When he finds the first carbon, he can use it for Pesach. That's called the expansion of Afrosha. So the Rambam has this expansion of Afrosha if he violated the same chay twice. So therefore, why should the carbon be kosher only according to the Rambam if he was mafresh the carbon for the second achilus chelev when he made that shinui since the second Achilus Chayv took place before the Afrash, but if the second Achilus Chayv took place after the Afrash, the Rambam says the Korban is possible, and yet the Rambam accepts Shinui. So the Afrash now is expanded, and I can use that Afrash now for the second Achilus Chayv, even though it was implemented after the Afrash. But yet the Korban is going to be possible, the Rambam says, because the second Achilus Chayv took place after the Afrash. The only answer to that question could be that there's a second Halacha, not in Hilchos Afrash, but in Hilchos Hakrova, that the Korban can't be Mechater when it's brought on the Mizbeach for a Chayv that took place Liachar Afrash. And he says, El B'das HaRamatzmi Yefshol Farish came, Dohan Isbarli El, the Rambam holds that if there's this expanded nature of Afrosha, so you can expand your Afrosha from one Chayiv to the other, even if the second Chayiv was Liachar Afrosha, then that becomes Chayiv Kodem Afrosha. And therefore the Korban itself is going to be kosher. That's a Rambam sheet. But Tosus might disagree, and he might hold that in this case the Korban is possible, even if I grant the Rambam's premise that you can expand Afrosh and be Mishanit from Chelev to Chelev, but not for a Chelev Liachar Afrosh. And the reason for that is there's Halach in the Akrovus HaKorban that the Korban can't be Mechaper for a Chelev Liachar Afrosh. That brings me to the Tosefta in Nazir, but I did not get a chance to learn the Tosefta in Nazir, so at this point I want to wish you all a wonderful 2-week